is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Sell or Die Extra. I'm Jen Gluckow, the founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. And if you're joining us for the first time, normally I co-host this show with Jeffrey Gittimer, the author of The Little Red Book of Selling. But today, this is an extra.
This is a special episode.
This
right?
is a special edition because I'm going to give you some behind the scenes all about creating my book, and then I'm going to give you some actual audio versions of the book so you can hear two snippets from the book that'll give you strategies you can use right away, ideas that may help you right away. And I'm going to take you behind the scenes and give you a little bit more insight than what's in the book. So this is only for our diehards. Diehards, share this with all your friends. It's for them, too. Okay, let's just do this. Let's talk about it. So I wrote this book called Sales in a New York Minute.
Yes.
And I feel like I've been writing it my whole life, even though I've only been writing it, I don't know, for the past... 2 years, really. But my experiences over the course of my life have played a role into the book. And so I break the book down into three big sections, all about you, all about selling or your selling, and all about your life. So from work life to real life and back. And, you know, it really... begins with you, and so I go deep into mentality and attitude and personal development kind of things, mm-hmm. and then all about sales strategies. Like, you're a salesperson, I get it, you need to sell, okay? So there's a huge section on that. And then what most sales books don't have is how do you incorporate this into life and be the best person you can be, because no one really wants to be just the best salesperson. They want to be...
Well, being the best salesperson that you can be is a very aspirational goal, and if they want to be one-dimensional like that, that's just fine.
Yeah, exactly. I love the little ding there. Yeah, so you know, some people want to be the best salesperson, and also, I assume if you're a diehard, also want to be the best person. And so I talk about routines and strategies you can do to really enhance your life. And today we're going to go behind the scenes. I want to talk to you about writing a book first, because writing a book isn't easy. Okay, some people make it seem easy, like, yeah, I just wake up and write. And I don't... That's a discipline, okay? You have to be really freaking disciplined to wake up every morning and just write, okay? And then not be so self-critical that you want to throw everything away. Because I have had days like that, you know, picture where you, like, have that piece of paper and you tear it up or you crumple it up and, like, shoot it in the trash can, where I've wanted to do that. I haven't.
No, that must have been, like, tempting for writing this book, because there are probably entire sections that you were like, I like it, I don't love it, it's got to go in the trash.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And actually, there are about 25 pages of content that didn't make the book, because they're all about leadership. And I didn't feel that it was enough on leadership to have a whole section in the book. And so you can tell what I'll be writing about next
Yeah.
will be about leadership. And then there's about 80 pages of content, maybe 90, that didn't make the book on networking, or else I'd be giving you like an encyclopedia, and no one wants an encyclopedia.
And more importantly, you had a specific goal of 212 pages for this.
Exactly. So why is that? Okay, so 212 is a very specific number, and let me tell you one thing first. So these are broken up into what I call minutes, okay? The idea being that each strategy or each story I tell is about a page or two, no longer, and it's on one topic so that you can pick up the book anywhere. Doesn't matter what page you turn to. Pick it up anywhere and get an idea that you can implement right away. And so, and because our attention span these days is not the longest, you know? And so they're New York minutes. And the idea is not that this is how you make sales in New York. I'm going to teach you how you can make sales anywhere. Okay. And that's really, really important. But I want to talk about 212. So Nada, you bring up a really, really great point because, 212 is a triple winning combination. Okay. Number one, it's the boiling point of water. It's also the boiling point of sales if you get this book.
Nice.
Number two, it's the authentic New York City area code. It is like the known New York City area code. It's the real deal, as is the book. And then number three, it's the number of mastery ideas and strategies in the book that are going to bring you success. So, you know, I give you a challenge in the opening part, which is make 212 prospecting outreaches a week. Whether you're a sales newbie or a sales master, the book's going to help you break through your competition. The book's going to help you stand out from the crowd. The book's going to help you earn more sales. And one of my main goals was to make each minute in here short. I know that sounds weird. Like, is it a minute? Is it not really a minute? But it's not really a minute because it's a New York minute. And so you can read each strategy in, I don't know about a minute, but you can read each strategy in under 212 seconds. Okay? So while you're sitting in the car waiting to go into the meeting, while you're waiting for the decision maker, you know, wherever you are, and while you're on the train, whatever, you can read, you can open the book to any page and get a strategy.
Or you can listen to the audiobook. I hear it's produced by someone really smart.
That is true. That is true. That not a guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's pretty rocking. So that's the deal behind 212. I want to say two things. Number one, if you are writing a book, my suggestion to finish the book is to have a deadline.
Okay.
So we had a deadline, both of us. Jeffrey and I have books coming out on the same day, and we had the same deadline because it's the same publisher, and we missed it. It was sort of like a nice-to-have date. It wasn't like the real deadline, and I think that's why it was in my head as like, well, this is the like nice-to-make date but not the real deadline.
And then there was the actual deadline where, you again, it would have messed up everything in terms of shelf space and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, if we didn't make the real deadline, the books wouldn't get printed on time. If the books didn't get printed on time, we would lose our shelf space in bookstores and airport stores, which doesn't seem like a big deal, but our publisher spent a lot of time and effort and hard work securing that shelf space, mm-hmm. right? And like, I want to be in the airports. That's freaking cool. I don't want to miss that. So it was literally write or die. Like in my mind, okay? It was not just sell or die, it was write or die. And so the last 2 weeks of producing the book was just all focus, all dedication, total discipline, and it really came through at the end. And so that's why I say have a deadline. And this doesn't just go for a writing project, this goes for anything you're doing, whether it be, you know, creating your pitch deck for your biggest potential customer, make that deadline on your calendar a week before you actually need it. You know, whether it be preparation for the big sale, make that deadline. So this way, you know, you're going to get it done by a certain date. I put this in the book because attitude is the foundation to everything. Whether you're going to be successful or not is determined by your attitude. whether you're going to have a good day or not is determined by your attitude. In fact, just this week, I woke up on Monday. I overslept. It was 9:12 a.m. I have never slept that late. Like, I don't know, ever. And I know that sounds nuts.
Yes. And again, sleeping till 9 a.m. sounds like pleasure for a lot of people, including me.
Yeah, but I totally overslept. I woke up with a horrible migraine, like couldn't see straight kind of migraine. And the dog walker had been there since 9, texting me, where are you? Where are the dogs? And, you know, and I woke up to 44 text messages and 3 missed calls.
Ooh.
Okay, so like when you wake up and you're not feeling good and you're in a scramble and now you see like the world's falling apart, like what are all these text messages? That must mean people are trying to reach me. You're like in a panic. So I had to get the dogs out first. I prioritized everything really fast. Call this person back next. Call that person back next. You know, get that in order and then take Advil, right? That mm-hmm. was key. And finally, within about an hour, my headache started to the medicine started to work and my headache started to go away. And I just, by the way, I don't, when I talk about my migraines, like, I'm not talking about them because I want anyone to feel bad for me. I do not want anyone to feel bad for me. I'm talking about them because I want you to know real life. Like, every day is not perfect, okay? Monday, for example, was definitely a shit show, okay? So I woke up and you know what I thought about was, today's Monday. I have to have the most amazing day today. I have to be on for Motivation Monday on our podcast. I have so many things going on. We have our weekly team meeting. I have to be on and have a great day. And it starts with my attitude. So I got more dressed up than I usually get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because that made me feel good. And so I knew I needed to do something to make me feel good. For that, I needed to self-inspire, self-motivate. And so the question for you guys is, like, if you wake up in a bad mood, what do you do to turn it around? If you're having a bad moment, what do you do to turn it around? And so this section, It's a Beautiful Bad Day in the Neighborhood, is all about how to go from bad to good. It's a beautiful bad day in the neighborhood. Your choice. Ever hear someone say they're having a challenging day, a bad day, all day? I'm sure you've never said that, but if you have, ask yourself, whose fault is that? Bad days are usually self-inflicted. Here's how to go from bad to good. Change something to snap out of it. Break the bad day. Pause. Take a reality check and look for the good. Quit the excuses. Stop blaming it on the day. Oh, today's just one of those days. What's blaming it on the day gonna solve? Put your big boy pants on, or big girl pants, and go have a good day. And if Mondays are always bad days, then you need to find a new job, one you love. When things keep going a different way, and that way is not your way, your job is to figure out what you can do to make it a great day. Every day is exactly the same, except for 1, how you choose to treat it, 2, the opportunities you choose or fail to take advantage of, 3, the people you choose to talk to and interact with, 4, the activities you choose to do or not do. You have the personal power and responsibility to yourself to take control of the bad and shake it out. Grab your implementer. The next time it feels like the world is crumbling, make a list of 5 things you're grateful for. Can't think of 5? List 3. That will help your mood. And here's the key. The best thing to do is prevent a bad day. Start your day off with a kick-ass morning routine, like the Miracle Morning, and you'll be on your way to better days in a new year. If Mondays are always bad days, then find a new job, one that will help you love Mondays. So the next clip's going to be about blame versus responsibility. And I'm going to tell you a personal story. And it's a story I tell in the book. It's actually part of the audio recording from the book. I can't believe we're giving so many good sneak peeks. But it's only for you, diehards. It's only for you, okay? Just share this with all your friends. And let me just give you some backstory to what's not in the book. So I was off to make a huge sale, like a huge sale. And I was so excited about it. And I had prepped for it for weeks. And I had strengthened relationships behind the scenes for weeks. And you'll hear in the story, I was trying to reach someone in the meeting. And one of the people I was trying to reach, I don't think I talk about this, but one of the people I was trying to reach was on a plane from New York to California. And she was totally unreachable. And I had spent weeks building my relationship with her because she was supposed to be at the meeting.
See, this is what we talk about giving value. When Jeffrey and you always talk about giving value, this is what we're talking about, because this is something I didn't even know. We'd recorded this audiobook,
yep,
and you never told me the story that this person was on the plane.
Yeah, so she didn't even tell me. Like, I think she did tell me the night before she had to, that's okay. She did tell me. She called me the night before to be like, I have bad news. I'm not going to be there tomorrow. I had to take a last minute flight to LA. I was like, what?
Oh, okay.
What? You're my champion. You're supposed to be there. But I obviously didn't say that to her. I was like, oh, okay. I hope everything's okay. And then she told me what was going on. And she really did need to be there, but in LA. But it was, you know, my sale. I was so excited for it. And she was my champion. And so my next best champion that I had also built a relationship with, because mm-hmm. there were like 6 or 7 people in this meeting, is an older person who doesn't necessarily, I don't even think, have a smartphone.
Oh.
And so, and you could be a younger person without a smartphone. I'm not really being judgmental, but this person is just not used to using the phone. Yeah. They're not used to, like, you know, having a phone by them at all times, like, 9-year-old Gabrielle is, you know. Yeah.
Exactly. But still, that also feeds into this blame versus responsibility, because theoretically, you could have blamed someone.
I could have blamed everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
I could have blamed everyone. And, well, you know what? Let's just play the clip.
Blame versus responsibility. Personal story. It was a freezing cold, snowy day, and I was off to make the sale. Except the building I was looking for didn't exist. Building number 32, the building where I was supposed to meet with a group of people, present, educate, and make the sale, was missing. I asked nearby retailers about number 32, but no one knew where it was. I emailed, called, and I texted people in the meeting, but no one responded. There I was, in the middle of Manhattan, in high heels, carrying a heavy bag, with my big projector, my computer, all my winter clothing, and I'm schlepping all this stuff and I can't find the meeting location. My 45-minute early arrival was turning into a late arrival. And then I found out that the prospect had given me the wrong address. You can imagine, I was pissed off. Very pissed off and sweaty in 10-degree Fahrenheit weather. As I approached the right building, I realized they don't care about what happened to me. They've been upstairs talking, not checking their phones, having a good time. And they don't care that I've been looking for number 32 for almost an hour, or that I'm stressed out and upset. They just want me to show up prepared, with a great attitude, and ready to perform. Two options. Go upstairs and blame my contact. Show them on my email that I was given the wrong address. Or take responsibility and make the sale. Pause. You know what I needed to do, and I had less than a New York minute to change my mood. New York minute moral. Take responsibility and you'll be making more sales in a New York minute. I did, and I did. Your action. Go back and reread my New York Minute attitude strategies, see the attitude section, and choose your best attitude every day. Your mindset determines everything. So it's so much easier to blame than it is to take responsibility. And growing up, I think we learn to blame. I think initially we do take responsibility. And at a certain point in our lives, and I don't know when this is, but we begin
to blame instead of take responsibility. It's the easier thing. The sales guy didn't call me back. The prospect didn't call me back. They won't return my call. I can't get past the gatekeeper. You know, we're blaming, okay? And instead of taking responsibility. And so, because taking responsibility is so much harder. But when you take responsibility, you win. And so I knew in that moment when I was looking everywhere for, you know, I was going up that elevator and I literally had an elevator pitch worth of time to change my attitude and change and go in there and rock it. I knew in that 10 or 20 seconds, I needed to take responsibility. And I mean, can you imagine if I had walked in and I had been like, you gave me the wrong address. That's why I'm late.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good look.
They would not. They would have been like, why are you blaming me? And they did. They gave me the wrong. The fact is the address they gave me was incorrect. Now, there are other facts, right? I could have gone prior to the event to make sure I had to make sure that the building was there. I could have put it on the maps to make sure that I was going to the right place. Now in New York City, you don't usually map things because it's a grid. So yeah. You know, like if it's this number, it's between these blocks. You know, there are other things I could have done that I didn't do to make sure the address was correct. I can guarantee you that what I did after that before sales appointments was very different than what I did prior
so,
to that
one. How did that affect you, how you prepared for sales going forward? Because that's also taking responsibility.
So, right. So, like, you know, in New York, like I said, like it's a grid. So you think you know where the place is going to be. And I decided to never make that assumption again. I decided that from now on, I am going to locate it. And on a Google Maps, you can actually see. You can actually zoom in. See the building number, make sure you're going to be going to the place that exists or is correct. And it never happened again. I mean, it is like a fluke thing. But I now, before going to a sales meeting, double check. Because this way, if there is an issue, I have time. The minute they give me the address, I double check it. So that this way, like if it's 2 weeks before or a week before or whatever, I can call and say, hey, I was looking at the maps and I'm not sure, is it next to this building, is it next to that building, and make sure I have the right address. Okay, so it changed the way I prepare for a meeting in New York forever.
And again, these are the stories that we wouldn't get if we weren't necessarily recording this.
That's right. This is the behind the scenes, you know. Let's go a little bit deeper. And we'll do a few of these. I'll do some of these on Facebook Live, too, so you can get more and ask me questions. Once you have the book, we'll be doing a lot of these so that we can really go deeper.
I mean, speaking of Facebook, though, we do have this week, diehards can pick their favorite episodes from this year. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a poll of everybody's favorite Sell or Die episode. We're going to put a nice little compilation together. And on December 27th, and maybe if we have enough submissions, December 26th as well, we may end up doing two full episodes of Die Hard's Choice, Best of Sell or Die for 2018.
Die Hard's Choice. I freaking love that. Okay, guys, so go into the Facebook group and you'll see the poll. It's pinned at the top. And then all you need to do is either add your favorite episode and vote or see what's there. And if you like one of those the best, vote on those. I know what mine was, but you'll have to check my LinkedIn for that.
Also, we have Dustin Hillis. The second part of Dustin Hillis coming up tomorrow.
Yes.
Best of coming up Friday as well. So, and as we always say with the best of episodes, if you have a person that's brand new to Sell or Die, you have a friend that you're trying to introduce to Sell or Die, for which we thank every one of you guys. That's the best way to introduce the Sell or Die mentality, the Sell or Die podcast, is those best of shows. It's a nice little 5-minute clips of the best stuff that we put out at each and every week.
There you go. So go ahead, subscribe, listen, share it with a friend. And until next time, I'm Jen Gluckout, and I'm reminding you to go out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to the GetEmmerLearningAcademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GetOverLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.